Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here for VideoCopilot.net, and welcome to another very exciting, very in-depth tutorial in After Effects. So, what we're going to be doing is creating some interesting relighting, reflection, and refracting effects inside of After Effects. And the way it works is through the use of a special map called a normal map. Now, there's a couple of ways normal maps are created. One, a normal map can be generated from 3D geometry. So inside of your 3D program, you can take your 3D mesh and export a normal map, which looks something like this. Now, you can also take a texture or an image and run it through a normal generator software, and it will also create a normal map. Now, what is normal? Well, I've been asking myself that question all my life. I can tell you a little bit about being abnormal. Let me explain. We've all had imaginary friends growing up. Well, mine just happened to go to the same high school as me, and I never really understood what the big deal was, but apparently imaginary friends aren't that great at parking cars. There was this one incident where I was running late to school, and so I had Superman drop me off at the front and then, you know, park the car. But he ended up driving straight through the front office and right into the lost and found area, which was interesting because I didn't even realize the car was missing until they told me they had found it in the lost and found. And on top of that, the car ended up being stolen. Apparently Batman didn't really borrow it from his friend Robin, and it's the last time I listened to that guy. But we're not talking about me. We're talking about normal maps, which is completely different. Basically, a normal map uses RGB values to describe the direction of the surface. So if we go back to the 3D normal, you can see that everything that's sort of pointing to the left kind of has a pink or red color, and everything on the right, more of a cyan, teal type of color. So without getting too technical, I'll just say that the normal map is going to allow us to create some really cool effects right in After Effects. And the great thing is how fast and responsive this works. So let's just take a quick look at what is possible. So now I've already set up a quick scene, but what you're seeing is 3D lights in After Effects relighting the mesh as if it were a 3D object. And another cool tip is if you alt-click on the bits per channel and do 32 bits per channel, you get way better looking specularity. So if you kind of toggle back and forth, it kind of clips off. But if you go to the 32 bits per channel, it looks really good. So this technique is great for creating motion graphics. It's also great for visual effects. And here I have an example of some refraction and some watery-like surface. And here I have a two-dimensional example where we've taken the normal map generated image and added some lights. And we have a really nice looking kind of bump map effect. So there's a lot of things we're going to try to cover in this tutorial. And frankly, it just begins to scratch the surface of what is possible. So let's get started with a very basic example of using a 2D image and generating a normal map. Now, to get this free plugin for After Effects, head over to mining.d, click on Software, and then Normality. It just came out with the new version 3.1. It's got some cool fixes in it. And hey, this guy kind of sent over some feedback. So it's got to be pretty good. Well, actually, I'm kind of bringing the place down from the inside. Download the plugin, Mac and PC. Then install it into your After Effects directory support files plugins. So copy it in there, and it should load up. Works with After Effects CS3 and above. And by the way, it's free, so if you want to maybe send a donation to Stefan over at mining.d, he would appreciate it. It's a pretty amazing free plugin, and that was a free plug. So, they kind of go together. All right, we are going to be creating a normal map from a regular texture picture. What you need to do is jump onto Google, search for a normal map generator. And there's several free solutions. NVIDIA has a free plugin for Photoshop. There's a cool one called Crazy Bump, and there's like a 30-day demo. You can try that out. There's a few other free ones, and there is even one for Mac OS X, and there's a whole world to this normal map stuff. It's kind of like bump mapping for 3D, except it's just a little bit more intelligent, and it allows you to add a lot of high detail imagery without, you know, extra polygons and extra rendering. Okay, so we need to convert our texture into a normal map. Now, I'm going to be using a piece of software called Crazy Bump, and there is a 30-day demo available. I've got it running on another machine, so I'm just using the demo here. But it works, and you can learn everything about it pretty quick. First, we need to click on this button to open an image. We're going to choose a photograph, but you can also open up like a bump map or a height map. So I'll click on Photograph, and here I have our brick image. I'm going to choose Open. Puny humans are instructed to wait. Very clever. I like cleverness. Select the image on the left because it looks more bumpy. And this is all the stuff that you get. You have a preview here that lets you see what's kind of extruding. And, you know, if you look at the edges, it's really flat, but it looks quite 3D. So we're going to close the preview. And here is the normal map, like pretty much ready to go. There's a few settings here. Now I want to turn down the shape recognition because I don't like it to be too bumpy. Now to export this, click on Save, Save Normals to File, and just save it off. Now just a quick tip, if you click on the tools here, you can actually batch process a sequence of images if you have a video or something like that. So that's pretty cool. For now, we're going to go ahead and close this. And back inside of After Effects. So this is an After Effects tutorial, I promise. We've created our normal map and we've imported it, and now we're going to actually start doing something useful. Man, I've really wasted a lot of time already. Okay, let's create a new composition. We'll make it 10 seconds long, 864 by 486, and we'll call this 2D normal. And I'll hit OK. So we'll take our two textures, the normal and the original, and we'll bring it out. Now I'm going to scale it down here. Now we want to make sure the lights stay relative to our scene, so I'm going to pre-compose each of the textures. So layer, pre-compose, we'll choose OK, and then I'll select the normal, layer, pre-compose, and choose OK. So here's our normal and our diffuse. We want to put the diffuse or the original on the bottom. And one of the things that we have to do to make this work better is sort of get rid of the shadows in our texture. So we can do that a couple of ways. One thing I like to use is the shadow highlight filter. We'll uncheck the auto amount and turn up the shadow amount. So that gets rid of some of the darker textures. And we might also use an exposure setting. We can brighten it up and maybe turn up the gamma, turn it down even. So something like that. Then we'll turn on our normal, and we want to change the transfer mode to overlay. Then we'll choose effect, mining D, normality, and select normality. You're going to be doing this a lot. It's a great plugin. So here is the plugin. It's got a lot of settings, but we're going to focus on a few of the main ones. So this is mainly a re-lighting plugin, so we're going to create some After Effects light. So I'll choose Layer, New, Light, and we're going to make it a point light. We'll go with a very bright orange. Okay, okay. And so right away, we've got some re-lighting going on. Now, there's one important thing we need to take a look at. Depending on which software you export your normal map from, the colors may not be calibrated correctly. So normality includes a very helpful invert option. Now usually it's pretty easy to see if the lighting is working correctly. Like if I move the light around, does the lighting look like it's affecting the surface correctly? And if not, we need to make some adjustments. So now I'm going to shut off the original texture so we can just look at what normality is doing. And as I move the light around, you can see there's a shadow right here, but it probably should be lit up because of the direction of the light. And if I move it up, then it lights up. So it looks like one of our channels is inverted. So I'll go to normality. And by the way, a cool thing is if you lock the effects control, and if you move your light around, you won't have to go back and bring that up. So something's not quite right. So X, Y goes up and down. So let's invert the Y axis. And when we do that, this looks a lot more accurate. So we've calibrated it. And if you're not sure, just, you know, invert it, play around until you get it to look correct. But one thing you'll notice also is if the light goes over here and the lighting starts showing up on the other side, you might want to watch this tutorial again. But anyway, we'll close that down. We'll take our light, we'll move it over to the side here, and let's create another light. Layer, new light. And this time we'll make a blue light. And we'll just move it over to the side. And by the way, you can move the light on the Z axis as well, and you can create some different dramatic lighting effects. So now I'm going to turn on our original texture. Okay, let's check out some of the settings in normality. So first we have shading. Now that's mainly the diffuse shading. We have the specular shading. If we turn that on, you can see that we kind of create a bright gloss. And if we move that around, you can see what that looks like. But you'll also notice how fast and responsive the plugin is. So that's just an incredible, you know, feature and benefit of using 2D maps to do sort of 3D relighting. So we go back into normality. I'll go and lock that. We've got the specularity. By the way, the shading is sort of like the diffuse. So if we turn that down, then we're just sort of left with the specularity. So that's kind of what that is. Moving on, I won't get into all of these right now, but if we turn on the rim light, that's sort of like a hair light or a top light. And as I turn that on, we kind of have a little bit of lighting coming from above. So maybe we change that to a light blue color and sort of like a moonlight. We can turn up the size and the intensity of that, but that really just makes it pop out. Now there's a lot of other options in here like reflection and refraction, even a bump map, but we'll get into that with the next example. I just want to kind of give you the basics of what we're doing and what is possible. Okay, here we are in 3D Studio Max, and you can also use other 3D programs like Blender, Cinema 4D, Maya to export a normal map. Now I don't have every 3D program to show you this, but I will tell you it is possible to do in nearly every 3D program, and just do a quick search for exporting normal maps in, you know, your 3D program, and you should be able to find what you're looking for. But I'm in 3D Max, so let's just take a quick look at what is required. Now when we create this, all I've done is gone into the extended primitives, and there's a torus knot, and I just created some shapes and played around with some of the settings. So if you're looking to create this, it takes about 3 seconds. In fact, let's count this out. Ready? Bam. I don't know if that was 3 seconds, but the idea is you don't really need to do any fancy texturing. I'm just taking the standard material, dropping it on here, and, you know, rendering it out. So pretty straightforward. Play around with the settings if you want. Now, you do need to export a shadow pass because normality does relighting, but it doesn't do shadows. So the way I did the shadows is I just created a skylight and put it into the scene, turned on cast shadows, and that kind of creates an ambient occlusion kind of effect. But you can search for that stuff in the 3D program that you're looking for and how to render it out, etc. Now, you don't need a shadow pass, but it might make things look a little bit nicer. So to render this out, I'm going to go into the render settings, and we're just going to render out a single frame. I'm going to choose save file, click on files, and we're going to use the RPF file name. And what's cool about that is if we go into the setup, turn to 16 bits and store alpha channel, and then make sure to check the normal pass, and we'll be able to use that in After Effects. Now if you use floating point color, you might want to turn that on as well. But anyway, we'll choose OK. And we'll call this not, and just click save. Now I'm going to shut off the shadows so this renders quicker, but the normal pass doesn't take any time at all. Hit render, and that's how fast it goes. It's pretty much done. You can't see the normal pass here, but it is in the file, and we'll be able to access that in After Effects. Now you can render out the shadow pass separately by going into the render elements and adding it here, or you can just turn on this skylight, render it out, make sure to rename as like a shadow or something. And then re-render it. Now the shadows can take a little bit of time to render, but the result is pretty nice, very similar to an ambient occlusion pass. And just a quick note, I'm pretty sure in Cinema 4D you can export an RPF file and include the normal channel, but double check that, and if we find anything out, we'll post it on the site in the notes for the tutorial, and that way you'll know. So back to After Effects. There's something cool happening right now. It's almost like creating an interactive tutorial. So what I've done is I've posted an example of what we're going to be doing on the blog at videocopilot.net. And I posted an example, shared some information, and we've actually got some comments here. And what's cool about this is I can kind of see what people are concerned about or what some of the possibilities are with this. And one person was wondering whether or not this replaces a 3D solution, or wouldn't you rather just do this in 3D? So I replied to him and just said, hey, it wouldn't replace 3D work, but instead it's a relighting solution for enhancing your render. So something to think about. It's such a cool thing that I can go on here and just listen to what people are saying and just get a lot of good information. So I'm really, really excited about that. And based on the comments, I try to work in some of those subjects into the tutorial. So really, really cool. Especially this one. I like this one a lot. It says, not very good. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'll try to work that in. Okay, so we've got our two RPF renders, the not and the not shadow with a T at the end because I spelled it wrong. And we're going to bring those in to the project, just import them. And then we're going to create a new composition. So we'll do 864 by 486, 10 seconds, and we'll choose OK. We'll take the not, bring it out, and the not shadow and bring that out. Now we need to extract the normal map from this RPF. So what we're going to do is choose Effect, 3D Channel, 3D Channel Extract, go in here and choose Surface Normals. Aha! So now we've extracted our normal map. Now there's a few things about normal maps, and depending on how you render them, you want to be concerned about. And that is sort of anti-aliasing and the lack of it here. So the edges can be a little bit sharp and possibly lead to some aliasing issues that need to be dealt with in, you know, various ways. For example, you may want to render out the normal map at, say, twice the resolution as needed so that you can scale it down in After Effects, say, 50%, and then it sort of starts aliasing the edges and makes it a little bit smoother to work with. Moving forward, I'm going to go ahead, turn on our shadow, and I want to hit S, and I'm going to scale it down to 50%. So we have our shadow, we have our not, which is actually our normal map now because we've converted it. And what I want to do is bring out the not RPF again, and this is sort of going to be our diffuse channel. So when you export out of your 3D program, if you bring the diffuse pass, it can contain your texture without any lighting or shadows, and you'll be able to combine them in After Effects. So the shadow pass, we're going to go ahead, change the transfer mode to multiply. Turn that on there. Now we might see a little bit of aliasing, and what we can do is go down to the diffuse, or sort of like the original, and go to layer, layer style, inner glow, and then go in there and then set the blending mode of it to normal and change the color to like black, and actually turn the size all the way down to zero. And what that does is sort of tense the edge so that we don't actually see it. And there's just little things like this that are going to really make this work a lot better. But let's focus on normality and all the cool things that we can do with it. So first thing, I'm going to create a new light. And we'll make a blue point light. We'll choose OK. And then I'll go to our normal pass. We'll turn it on. And we're going to set the transfer mode to overlay. So I want to go with overlay there. Now, normality uses After Effects world space, so what we need to do is pre-compose our normal map because we scaled it down. So we'll choose layer, pre-compose. Now, if all your layers are already the right size, you shouldn't have to do this. And just to keep things in sync, I'm going to go ahead and pre-compose the other layers as well. And we'll choose OK and pre-compose and choose OK. So we'll switch this back to multiply. So we set up our stack again. And we want the normal map to be set to overlay. Then we'll choose effect, normality. And right away we can see that our light is relighting our scene. So let's hit AA on the light and we'll turn up the intensity. Now we're starting to see a little bit of aliasing, but let's see if we can address that. We're going to go into the normals and we're going to set the alpha to the diffuse comp. So usually your diffuse pass has an alpha channel and your normal pass doesn't. So by setting the alpha channel of the diffuse pass, you'll be able to create some transparency and work with the image a lot better. So right away that takes care of a lot of the issue. And the other thing that you can try is using a simple choker on some of the layers, and that might also help to kind of clean that edge up a bit. Now we'll go ahead and create a background layer. So layer, new, solid. Make this red. Doesn't really matter what color, actually. We're going to add a ramp. That was just a waste of time. Killing some time. We will do red and say black. We'll set this to radial. So kind of like a little bit of lighting, and we'll put that on the bottom. All right, let's select the normal channel. I'm going to go ahead and lock it so that it stays here. And I want to play around with some of the settings. We want this to look really shiny and crisp. So we'll go here and turn on the specular. So there we have kind of a hot spot from our light. Very nice. And we're going to turn down the shading and turn up the specular and turn down the spread. So the spread makes it look more or less shiny. And you kind of see what's going on there. Turn that down just a bit. And the shading down so that it looks a lot darker. Then I'm going to duplicate the light. So we can do edit, duplicate. And I'll go ahead and move that light over to the other side somewhere just so that it kind of fills up the scene. Now the other cool feature that we looked at earlier was the rim light. So we'll turn that on. So it kind of creates a hair light and we'll make it red. And we'll turn up the size so that it's really covering our image. And the other thing we want to do is add a reflection. Now we have a reflection image that we can use, but this can be anything. I'm going to drop it into our project, put it at the bottom, and we'll shut it off. We don't actually want to look at it. We just want it to be there. That's exactly what my wife said to me the other day. Anyway, that doesn't really make any sense, so let's just move on. Let me show you something pretty cool here. We have our normal map here. Let's change the color. Yellow's good. I'm going to duplicate it. Now, by duplicating it, I'm going to cause a lot of issues, but if I go to the top here and I change the display to, say, rim light, and I'll solo that, all that's going to render is just the rim light, just that top light. And then I can come down here, change the angle, maybe down to the bottom, maybe 180. And then I can composite that on top again. So if we set this to, say, add or screen or something like that, then I basically blended in another element, you know, pretty quickly. We can even change, the color. We can do a lot of different stuff. But the point is, it's kind of a fun way to mix elements and layers by being able to select them individually. Say I wanted to control just the specularity. Well, I can take that copy, we'll put it on top here, and we'll change it from rim to specular. And if we solo it, we just have those highlights. Well, check this out. We can add a nice stylized glow effect and maybe turn that up nice and bright. And, this is an improv. I didn't know I was going to do that, but I did. It's not great, but it's okay. So we've added an effect just to that glow without having to do any special masking. And then also, as we move the lights around, that glow is going to follow wherever that bright stuff goes. It's very dynamic. Now back to the reflection business. We'll go ahead and just delete that for now. Select the normal. We'll lock it again. We'll go down to the reflection rollout. Open that up. We'll enable it. We're going to set the environment map to the reflection night image, and then it gets wrapped around really interestingly. We've got a couple of issues, a lot of aliasing, so we'll turn the blur on a little bit, and that fixes it pretty well. But we also want to maybe give it a little bit more contrast. So if we turn the gamma, say, down, that'll leave only the highlighted areas of the image. We can also change, like, the world so that it reflects around a little bit differently, increase the amount of reflectivity. And we can even animate these. So say we've got a logo treatment and we just want to have a little bit of a gloss or a gleam running across the surface, that's a quick way to do it. Now I've got another reflection image that we can try. So if we go down to the bottom here, we have this reflection night image, but I have this other one called reflection evening, and let's bring that, hold down Alt and replace that one. And that way we just start with a completely different reflection image. We'll go back to the effects and maybe make a few other changes. So one of the things that I love is the Fresnel setting. So it's not Fresnel, which I'm sure I've called that in the past, but it's actually Fresnel. So what I'll do is turn the Fresnel up just a little bit, and that makes everything kind of go away. But if I increase the depth right here, you can start to see the reflection start bleeding in around the edges. And it's basically to mimic the surfaces of certain objects, how the reflection isn't really seen straight on, but only as it wraps around the edges. So you can play around with that. But now I want to show you another example where we actually use live action footage. So let's create a new composition. Choose OK. And I have this footage of New York. We'll bring that out and we'll fit that to the comp size. Now I've prepared another element. And basically it's a drop or a sphere with some animated noise on it. And we're going to bring that out into our project. Now I want to go ahead and pre-compose it in the position that I want to keep it at. Now earlier I motion tracked our background plate, so I can do that for you now. I just created a null object, selected the footage, went to the tracker controls, track motion, and then we tracked a quick position here. I know a lot of you already know how to do this. I just like to make tutorials fully self-contained so that if you didn't see another one, you could probably get along with most of the steps. Not always the case, but sometimes. So once it's tracked, we can edit the target, make sure our null is selected, and click Apply. X and Y, hit OK. Now I'm going to pre-compose the normal drop with a copy of the null object. So I'll duplicate it. So first I'll parent it to that so that when we move this around, it kind of stays in that position. And then we'll take the null, the drop, and we'll choose layer, pre-compose. We'll call this drop normal and hit OK. And then we'll choose effect, normality. I'm going to create a light. And we'll make it the color of this orange up here, and we'll hit OK. And we're going to put it up in the top. Now, check this out. You see how the light spot is actually inverted? When I move it over to the left, it highlights the right, and when I move it to the other side, it highlights the left. So I need to go and calibrate my normal. And so that would be the x-axis, and I'm going to flip it. So now when I move the light around, it's more accurate. So keep that in mind. You want to make sure you're working with a calibrated normal. So I'm going to put the light up here, maybe about there. We're going to go into the normal settings. I'm going to lock it. I'm going to turn on the specularity. And then we're going to go down to the bottom and maybe turn the shading down. We're going to go down to the bottom, reflection, enable. And we're going to use our footage. Now, I probably should pre-compose the footage because I sized it down. So we'll choose layer, pre-compose, hit OK. So for the environment, we'll select the New York footage. So right away, we've got our reflection happening here. And as we move, it's animated, it updates, maybe add a little blur. If anybody was at the Los Angeles meeting, I know what you're thinking right now, but we're not going to talk about that. So we've got this set up, and we also want to turn on the Fresnel setting. So we'll turn that up a bit, and then turn up the depth. So that way the reflection is just around the edges. So this starts to look kind of like Flight of the Navigator, more chromey. But we're also going to turn on a refraction. So we'll enable that. We'll set the map to New York. Now the index of refraction, that's how much distortion we're seeing. If that's set to zero, it's basically like glass. We're seeing right through it. But as we turn that up, the distortion sort of increases, and we can play around with that until we get the result that we're looking for. So I'm going to turn it down just a bit. I'm going to turn the reflection down even a bit. And the other thing I want to do with the refraction is I want to turn up the Fresnel, but I want to do it a little bit differently. So instead of being around the edges, I'm going to set the depth to a negative number so that it only pops in the front and in the middle. So that way, it's as if we're looking through it, and it's kind of like a lens. And we can turn the refraction amount down, maybe the gamma down just a bit. We'll turn up the amount. Let's see. So we're just sort of tweaking the settings. And I'm also working probably in 32 bits per channel still. And if we undo that, it can sometimes be a little bit easier to work. Now for most things, you want to make sure to work in at least 16 bits per channel so that you don't get too much noise or banding inside of the image. But so that looks pretty good. Let's go ahead and maybe add a quick shadow to the surface. Also, if we go into the drop here, we can animate it as I did earlier, and it'll update. And the thing about pre-composing is any animation you do in here is important, because if you do it in the other comp, it won't pay attention to the position of the world. So if we go in here and we look at this, so as it comes down, the angle at which it reflects the world is changing in a realistic way. So that's why you want to work with it inside of the pre-comp. We'll go ahead and maybe even scale this down a bit. Cool. And as for that shadow, we can just create a black solid, add a quick mask, go to the feather settings, turn that up, F4, make it a 3D layer, and then we'll rotate it, move it underneath it here. We can set the transfer mode to, you know, color burn maybe, classic color burn. And then turn the opacity down. Maybe just multiply is fine. And then we're going to parent the shadow to the null object. And then it will stay on the surface there. And then you can fade it out and maybe even scale it, so that it kind of grows on and fades in. And the other thing we can do is if we duplicate it and maybe scale it down even more, kind of create a more realistic kind of shadow. So little details like that, but you know, the fact that this water blob is, you know, flying around New York. In fact, if I was a water blob, I'm not sure that's where I would be. I'd probably be, you know, I'd probably be with some firefighters and flying around and putting out fires and stuff like that. Although secretly, I was actually starting those fires. I just did it so that I could be a hero and people would appreciate me. And then I get caught and then I cry and then a big tear falls down and splashes. Sounds like an independent film. See about exporting a Z-depth pass and incorporate that into the normality. And you can do that at the very top. There is a depth slot where you can pick a Z-depth and just get a little bit more accurate light distance. This just gives you that extra level of detail at the compositing stage. I just did another quick test, and this is sort of just a logo treatment. And just having some dramatic lighting that kind of runs across it and from behind. And what's cool about this is it updates real time. I even got like a little bump map to give it kind of a brushed metal look. The image is this is the occlusion pass, and the actual image is just this normal pass. Okay, well, I hope you guys enjoyed this tutorial. And of course, check out the website, videocopilot.net, the blog. We've got a lot of exciting things going on there, project files, tips and tricks. Go to the forum. If you want to start using Normality, you've got some questions or whatever, post it in there. We'll see what we can do. There's a lot of great people in there that are ready and willing to help. Don't forget about the After Effects basic training. If you're new to After Effects or you know somebody who wants to get into it, send that to them. They will appreciate it. And last but not least, Video Copilot products. We've got a lot of great products available. We've got Action Essentials in two versions, 2K, 720p, action stock footage, cinematic music, Twitch, great plugin. So just check this stuff out. You know, I mean, we built these products based on things that were needed in the industry. So check them out. I'm sure you're going to find them useful. My name is Andrew Kramer, and we'll see you next time. Now, what I'm really thinking about is, what should I name my water blob character? And the other question is this: does he have a family? Because we can probably work in some sympathy if he's got a family or you know, something to worry about. Yeah. Or maybe it's a teenager that has a kid of its own. Sort of a, you know, extreme situation.